You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret.
First, a look at what could be the next big battle for the labor movement. Strikes aimed at raising the minimum wage have been in the news recently, with a number of companies and cities opting to raise wages. Now there are new movements popping up around the country to give employees more say in their work schedules.
Groups are fighting for regulations that would prevent last-minute schedule changes, provide pay for on-call hours, accommodate health care needs of employees, among other measures.
Lydia DePillis is a reporter for The Washington Post. She joins us now to give more details. Lydia, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much.
Well, to start out with, what issues are people raising when it comes to current scheduling practices?
So this occurs mostly in the low-wage retail and restaurant sectors, and although all over can be transportation or parking. And what we're seeing is that employers want to match the demand that they have for services with the labor that they pay for. And they have a lot of complex computer programs that have allowed them to do this over the years. And so what that means is they'll ask a worker to come in maybe for 4 hours today and 3 hours tomorrow, or they'll change it at the last minute according to what they're finding foot traffic might be like, or the number of people who come through a restaurant.
Now, it used to be that schedules were more dependable in terms of you knew when you were going to work, and it was for a big block of time in these industries. What's changed over the years?
So I think it's that retailers have gotten smarter about how to more efficiently match the time that they have workers come in for with the times that the stores are most busy. And they've also figured out how to communicate that at the last minute to workers. And at the same time, we've had the labor market get really loose through the recession, in that people are looking for jobs and they sometimes can't walk away if an employer makes it difficult by carving up their workday into little pieces.
So what is the effect on the workers? There have been a lot of pieces recently in the media telling people's personal stories. What have they said about how it affects their life?
So when you think about your workday, if you don't know how to plan on Sunday where you're going to be and what you're going to do on Wednesday or Friday, that makes it very difficult to arrange childcare or figure out when to take vacations. And if you have to keep open large chunks of hours in case your employer calls you up, and because you need the money, you need to work, then you can't carry out other functions that you of your life, even if that means advancing yourself, like by going to school on the side or holding down another job. So it's really very disruptive, even more so than the pay itself, which tends to be fairly low.
And so there are a handful of states, maybe more than that, who are seeking to advance laws that give some protections to people around these scheduling issues. What sorts of measures do proponents of these kinds of laws want to see?
So there's a few things that advocates are seeking. The biggest one is probably asking employers to give workers several weeks notice of the schedule that they're going to have and punishing them if they change it. So that just gives people a little bit more stability. Another is that they feel that workers need more hours overall. There's still a lot of what's called involuntary part-time workers in the economy, and they, you know, you can be paid $20 an hour, but it doesn't matter if you only get 10 hours a week. There are, you know, some bills have provisions to charge employers for the amount of time that they ask workers to be on call for, for them to pay for an entire shift, even if they send people home early. So those are meant to discourage employers from screwing with schedules too much.
We're talking right now with Washington Post reporter Lydia DePillis, talking about new legislation in several states around the country, including Indiana and Michigan, aimed at giving workers more control over their schedules. And Lydia, you were just talking about some of the measures that proponents of these laws are looking for. How do they make sure that these laws get enforced?
Well, it's going to be really, really difficult. The only jurisdiction that's passed one of these comprehensive ordinances so far is San Francisco, which tends to be on the leading edge of labor law protections. And they tried to make sure that the city also added a ton of money for inspectors and people to just make answer complaints and make sure that people even know that they have these rights, because they're pretty obscure. And we don't really know how that's going yet because it's very new. But you know, the thing is that a lot of these provisions are already in union contracts if you happen to be in a union. And there's a built-in enforcement mechanism in the form of shop stewards who are paid for with union dues. And there's a ton more shop stewards in a union workplace than there are inspectors in a city, generally speaking. So that's one way to handle it, but not everybody is fortunate enough to be in a union.
Now, I mentioned Indiana, Michigan. Where else is this legislation being considered? Wisconsin, as I know, isn't one of these states.
Sure. So at the moment, there are state bills in play in Indiana, as you mentioned. Maryland, one came up, it didn't pass. Massachusetts, Illinois, Connecticut, California, New York, also Oregon, and there's a proposal in the works in Washington, D.C., and probably more that are kind of cooking. Like, there's a lot of national advocacy groups and unions who see this as a really essential way to improve worker lives. And there's also a bill in Congress that would require employers to accommodate scheduling changes that workers need unless there's a business reason to deny them. That I don't see going anywhere.
And do you see these bills facing a lot of opposition, or do they seem as though they have a pretty clear path ahead for passage?
They do face opposition because employers really like to be able to schedule their workforces as they see fit. And, you know, it's almost more disruptive for a business than, say, asking them to pay more, because it's actually has to do with business practices. It's not just a line item on a budget. So, which is not to say that fair scheduling, as the term coined by those in favor of it, is bad for businesses. There are a bunch of them that are looking at how to help employees get the time stability that they need while also filling out the schedules that they have. And, you know, Walmart's done that. Gap is looking how to do that. So it's something that can be a win-win for both.
Is there any indication that states who are considering some of this legislation, who maybe have one, looking at San Francisco and California, any evidence that this would discourage businesses from moving into the area?
I don't think there's any evidence of that. I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into a business's decision to locate in a place, and mostly that has to do with the fundamentals of, do people want your product? How much does labor cost? How much does real estate cost? So it's not one of those things that would deter businesses, I think, from setting up shop.
Now, you mentioned some companies going ahead, taking changes in hand already. Whole Foods, Walmart have made some changes in their scheduling practices ahead of any sort of legislation. Why do you think that is?
I think it's a lot of times it's by request of employees. I mean, one of the biggest problems and expenses that businesses face is turnover. And so if you have a worker who, you know, likes working where they are, they can deal with the wage, but they're being told at the last minute all the time when they're going to come in, and that's too disruptive for the rest of their life, they're going to quit. And you have to train a whole new person. So businesses that are moving forward in this area of HR are trying to pay for it through lowering those turnover costs, which involve retraining people and recruiting and onboarding. That all that takes time and money.
And before we let you go, is this another option, an alternative to legislation, letting companies take the changes in hand themselves?
Well, both people consulting on those changes and people pushing for the new laws say that they have to be complementary. And the laws are a nudge But at the same time, you want to be making the business case for it, because otherwise it might just be confined to those high-profile companies that are subject to brand pressure from the outside. You know, there's a lot of companies that don't really, they are not customer-facing, so if they have a bad reputation for having unpredictable schedules, then it doesn't really matter.
Lydia, thanks a lot for joining us.
No problem.
That was Washington Post reporter Lydia DePillis talking about a surge of legislation aimed at giving workers more control over their schedules.
I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.